pray together. Jesus, thank you that once your enemies, Lord, though we were living in rebellion and sin against you, rejecting you in our hearts, wanting nothing to do with you, you sent your Son to shed his blood for us. And he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be reconciled to you, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, what a glorious truth that we have before us this morning, one in which, Lord, we pray would help us to be focused on your word this morning. Lord, many of us here are distracted, are wearied. And God, we pray that by your grace you would help us to be focused. Lord, to be a people who will leave here rejoicing in your glorious truth, in the wonderful proclamations that we heard that to your kingdom there is no end, as you will reign forever and ever, that there will be no more night, and that your light shines forever. God, we pray that you would bless this word this morning, and that you would be exalted and glorified in all that is done. We pray this in your name. Amen. I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I will read, for context, verses 1 through 13 this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In all of the really great stories throughout ages, light representing goodness, darkness representing evil, light always wins. In all of the really great stories, goodness prevails. And very often, in the most surprising and unexpected of ways. It is no secret that one of my favorite stories, The Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien captures this very well. In the last book, The Return of the King, there is a scene in which Sam and Frodo are walking through Mordor, a land complete and utter darkness. A land of overwhelming darkness, a darkness that as you read the book, you sense this darkness is palpable, is something that you could feel and touch. And it's at this moment in which all hope seems lost. Frodo can't take another step, that Sam catches a glimpse of a star. And Tolkien writes, "There, peeping among the cloud rack above a dark tor high up in the mountains, Sam saw a white star twinkle for a while. The beauty of it smote his heart as he looked up out of the forsaken land, and hope returned to him. For like a shaft, clear and cold, the thought pierced him that in the end, the shadow was only a small and passing thing. There was light and high beauty forever beyond its reach." And as this story Tolkien writes, captures the truth of the shadow as a small and passing thing. We want to see that the greatest of stories, the gospel, also tells us that the light wins, that the light and momentary afflictions that we face in this life are but a passing thing, as there is light and high beauty forever beyond their reach. From Genesis to Revelation, as we saw evidenced this morning, the gospel tells us that the light wins. The gospel, the story of good news, a story of light overcoming darkness, which is what we want to look at in this passage of John 1 this morning, that portrays this truth very profoundly, very beautifully in these first several verses and would become a theme of much of John's gospel as well. First thing we want to look at this morning is the fact that Jesus is the light. John begins his gospel very differently from the other gospel writers. You have Matthew and Luke who give their genealogies introducing the line in which Christ would come from. Mark, who just starts right from the beginning because that's what Mark does. And then we have John, who writes a very unique beginning to his gospel. And as we read these first three verses, he calls our attention back to creation, back to eternity past, when he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The beginning was the Word language causes us to hearken back to Genesis 1, where it is written, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." John is doing something very important for us, is he's preparing us for what his gospel account is all about. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's using this Word to denote a divine self-existence or expression. And John identifies this Word as God, and clearly identifies this Word as Christ. If you look at verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word is the Messiah. John is telling us that the eternal Word became the incarnate Christ. God became man. And so together with verses 1 through 3, John is making it clear. Jesus is God. The Word is God. God eternal, God the Creator. The Word is Jesus. And he was there in the beginning, creating all things. All things were made through him. And as John transitions to verse 4, we see him talk of life and light, which are two important themes that would reappear throughout his gospel. In verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And while we are making connections to the Genesis creation account, I believe again we see a reference to God's first creative act of bringing light into the darkness. In Genesis 1:3, it said, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness." Demonstrating that God is always the source of life and light. And in Christ, we see that he brings life and light to us. Jesus is the light. In fact, he calls himself such in John 8, verse 12, when he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." We read this morning about people who walked in darkness. People who walked in darkness to whom a light has shone. His light has shone into the darkness of this world, and those who have received him and follow him will have the light of life. Jesus is the light, the eternal God, the Creator. It's what John wants everyone to know and to believe. It's why he wrote this book. the end of John in chapter 20, he writes in verse 31, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." It is crucially important that we understand that this light has come and that this light is Jesus. And as we understand that, there are two very important things that I think we should see about the light. And then we can apply some of these truths to our lives as well. The first thing we see is we look again at verses 4 and 5. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light shines continually. We've established who Jesus is. We've established that Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is the light. And seeing that he is the source of life and light is crucial. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." But why is this so important? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light is continually shining, is the literal meaning that we see here. In verse 4, life and light together, we see what they have accomplished. And in verse 5, we see what it is still doing. It is still shining. As you see the difference, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It doesn't stop shining. There are not moments when the light goes out for a while. It is always shining. Just as Sam saw that star behind the clouds, it was there all the time. It had never stopped shining. The light shines forever. It has shone from eternity past. It shines now and shines on forever. It can never be put out. It may not be understood or comprehended by some, but the darkness can never overtake the light. Jesus has come as light to provide us with hope that the darkness is a passing thing. The light shines, and we understand that the darkness is real. And it is at times overwhelming. Just recently, we saw the terrible tragedy that darkness in this world can bring in Connecticut. And we struggle to see where the light was in that. But the light never stopped shining. We can't put it out. We can't stop it from shining. And wonderful and good, perfect things come as the light shines into the darkness. The darkness is real. It is at times overwhelming. We all go through times in which we feel as if the darkness has overcome us. In fact, by our very nature, the darkness of this world is fatal, as the darkness is sin. Our sin, the sin and wickedness that corrupts this whole world system and seems at times to be winning. The darkness is also times in which we feel like all hope is lost. Maybe we'd feel like the Jews of John's day at this time before Christ had come, before the Messiah was born, the end of their hope in the midst of a 400-year-long silence, wondering where the Messiah was, when he was coming. We may feel as if the darkness has even defeated us, times in which we are in utter despair. But it's not victorious, because there is a light that rules the darkness and is triumphant over the darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the light wins. No matter how hard Satan works to blot out the light, he fails. No matter how thick the clouds are, there is always light beyond its reach that can never be put out. No matter how dark our world, our life seems at times, the light is shining. as John would write in Revelation 22, as we heard this morning in our New Testament reading, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Jesus, the light, shines continually. There will be a day when we won't need light of lamp or sun, because the Lord God will be our light, and we will reign with him forever. Right now, we are a people who are in the midst of darkness, and we need the reminder that the light shines continually. We need the reminder that the light never stops shining. And it brings us to another point in regards to the light, one that would stir our hope even more, and that is that the light shines effectively, even victoriously. Verses 4 and 5 show us that the light shines continually. As we look at verses 9 to 13, it shows us that the light shines effectively. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. This speaks volumes to the effectiveness of the light. It shines everywhere and on everyone. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened." We are all without excuse, as the light has shown and revealed God to us. We are all without excuse. We all know the truth, though many reject it. They reject the true light, and they suppress the truth. We're without excuse, as God's eternal power, his divine nature, have been revealed to us. Verses 10 through 13 play this out. "He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The gospel. We live in rejection to God. We are born in sin. We live as enemies of God, and yet he came and sent his Son, so that all who receive him, all who believe in his name, all who submit to who God is, who Christ is, he gives the right to become the children of God. All the world's efforts to curtail the effectiveness of the light fail. I heard somebody say in a sermon that in all reality, there's no such thing as an atheist. He's living in denial of what is truly revealed to us. I think we see this in the midst of tragedies like we just saw a few weeks ago. I can recall during the 9/11 aftermath. All of a sudden, people who never will mention God, never give credit to God for anything, are all of a sudden asking. I remember Congress standing on the steps singing, "God Bless America." All of this attention, why God? Where was God? Were the headlines in the newspapers. There's no such thing as an atheist, as God has revealed us and we are without excuse. Any efforts to block it out fail. C.S. Lewis, who talks about we can no more blot out the glory of God than a lunatic could blot out the darkness in his cell by writing darkness on the wall. We can no more curtail the effectiveness of the light. All of the world's efforts fail. The rest of the story is that God calls those who reject him, who have rebelled against him, who have lived in rebellion, to receive the light. He calls us to this glorious promise to be children of God. He calls us to receive him and to believe in his name, that Jesus is the Son of God, come to take away our sin. The true light shines and will do so forever. God shines his light, and it brings to light the truth for all those who believe, all those who are born of God, and gives us life more abundantly. More abundantly than we could ask or think. All that we need for life and godliness. The darkness is real and seems overwhelming, but it doesn't and cannot or ever will overcome the light. God in Christ has delivered those who believe from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. And he makes us children. And as Paul tells us in Romans 8, if children, then heirs. Heirs with Christ. The light shines effectively. It shines victoriously as it accomplishes its purpose to make known the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And what does this mean for us? It means that the gospel is the greatest of stories. And it's true. Frodo and Sam don't exist. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, does exist and walked this earth and carried a cross and was nailed to it and died for our sins. It means that the gospel, the greatest of stories, is true. And it means that there is hope. We so often look at this world and we wonder if there's any hope. There's hope. The light shines on the chief of sinners and leaves him without excuse. But it shines so that the chief of sinners might believe that Jesus is the life. The light of men is the hope of man. And it's in this hope that those who believe in these great truths live and wait patiently for redemption. And as we wait, we live in the light. We live to let our light shine. We live groaning for that day, with all of creation groaning for redemption to come. But we don't hide ourselves from the darkness. We live. We live in the power of the life-giving light that has been shed abroad in our hearts. And lastly, to apply this to ourselves, let your light shine. In the midst of reading about the light continually and victoriously shining into the darkness, and of what this glorious light accomplishes in the lives of those who believe, there are verses 6 through 8, which read, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John the Baptist was called to proclaim the coming of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, his father prophesies of him and says, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." As John is called and sent by God, so are all who believe on his name called to share the glorious truth of the light with us, the light in us. We're called to proclaim the wonderful news of salvation brought by the light. Jesus would say of John the Baptist in John 5, verse 35, "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." John the Baptist was not the light, but a witness to the light. The light came, and in the most stunning and unexpected of ways, came as a baby. It's not what the religious leaders of that day were looking for. They wanted a king with a sword in his fist. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, came and was born in a manger. The light of the world came into the world. God amazingly and gloriously calls all believers to shine as lights and to shine the light of the gospel into the darkness. He chooses to use us to proclaim his salvation to those who sit in utter darkness. Matthew writes in the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 5, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Paul would write to the Corinthians, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Christian, we are called to let the light that has shone in our hearts, the light that has transformed our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, to shine from us for the glory of God and the exaltation of Christ. No better New Year's resolution could be made than to let your light shine brighter. We must understand that letting our light shine isn't about us. It's not about you. As I've conducted membership interviews over the past and then discussing whether someone will give a testimony or not, on more than one occasion I've heard, "My testimony is not all that exciting." To which we then discuss and are reminded of who we would be apart from the grace and mercy of God. You once walked in darkness. And as the letter to the Ephesians tells us, that apart from Christ, we are a people who have no hope and are without God in this world. There is no darker place to be than without hope and without God. And now you walk in the light. There is no greater testimony than that. You once walked in darkness. Now you walk in the light. Walk as people of the light. There's not a believer here, man or woman, child or grown up, who's not called to shine as light, who's not called to be a burning and shining lamp in the darkness and proclaim the wonderful hope of the gospel in Christ Jesus. Just as there was a man named John, today there are men or women right here, remade in the likeness of Christ, called to bear witness to the light, pointing others to the light of the world. May we join with John the Baptist in proclaiming, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." As the great stories reflect the truth that the light always wins and shines forever beyond the passing shadow, the gospel story makes abundantly clear that the light has shone into a world of complete and utter darkness. It has shone everywhere and reveals the truth about this world, about the darkness in which we all walked. And the light shines to the very depths of our being, so that we were without excuse, so that deep down we all know that there is something more. And we either reject the light, continuing our walk in darkness, or we receive him, believing on his name, and become children of God, burning and shining lamps for his glory. We don't want anyone to leave today without letting the life-giving light shine in its fullness upon their hearts. We want you to seek us out and to talk to us, as we would love to share with you the wonderful hope of the gospel. Christian, no matter how you may have come in, let us go rejoicing in hope that the light has come and is victoriously shining in and through us now and forever. Let us live in the light at all times, remembering that the darkness is a passing thing and it cannot overcome the light, which means the darkness cannot overcome us. Let us pray that Kenwood Baptist Church be a people in whom the light shines blindingly this coming year, as we desire to see many come to see the glorious light of salvation. Let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that the light has come. The glorious light of salvation has come into this world and has shed into our hearts, causing us to believe. God, we praise you and thank you for that light. Lord, may the knowledge of the true light shining and continually shining in this world effectively now and forever, may that, Lord, lead us as we live our lives. May it be a guide to us as we seek to be shining and burning lamps for your glory. And God, we pray also for any that might be here this morning who don't know Jesus, Lord, who are still living apart from him. God, we pray that they would see the light this morning, that they would see the glorious truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. And God, that they may come to him and that they may receive him and become children of God. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the remainder of the time that we have together to fellowship. And God, as we prepare for a new year, may we strive to be lights that truly shine for you. We pray this in your precious and holy name. Amen.